Hey, we're going to continue week two of our series called All Things Are Possible. All Things Are Possible. And we had a little video message last week in the snow. And, you know, I'm a little embarrassed because turns out I wasn't wearing any socks. And I didn't realize it. I thought I was being filmed from like the waist up. And I was sitting there delivering a message to our church community with no socks on. And when I watched it later, I blushed and then people started telling me about it, how funny it was today, and I realized how embarrassed I am. But that was a good word, right? It was a good word? Okay, good. Okay, well, week two, if I were to title this message this morning, I would call it Uprooted. Uprooted. So let's read some scriptures out of the book of Luke chapter 17, verses 5 through 6. Luke chapter 17, verses 5 through 6. It says this, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Turn to your neighbor and say, increase our faith. Turn to your second favorite on the other side and say the same thing. Increase, anybody want their faith increased? Amen. How many know God can increase your faith? Well, that was their request to the Lord. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Amen. Let's pray together for God's blessing over this word. Father, we thank you so much for your holy, infallible, perfect word. Lord, we thank you that every scripture is God-breathed. We thank you that there's so much rich wisdom and delivering power in your word. I pray that this word would be communicated in a way that is customized to the needs of each and every person in this place and listening online. Father, I pray that you would liberate our hearts. I pray that you would strengthen us. I pray that you would straighten every crooked thing. God, that you would renew our minds. I pray, God, that everything in us that needs to be uprooted, God, pains and hurts and strongholds and bondages this morning, I pray that this would be the day that the process of uprooting those things would begin to happen by the power of your word and your anointing. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. In Mark 9:23, which is kind of the basis of this, the thesis of this whole series, Jesus said to this torn father, this guy who had a child who was sick and really just kind of demonized and attacked his whole life, and the father didn't know what to do with him. He took him to the disciples, and the disciples couldn't resolved the issue, and he finally brought him to Jesus. And Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And that's what we want to talk about, not only today, but for the remainder of this series. I want our community to have a type of faith that believes all things are possible. Can I get an amen? Amen. We can't walk around wondering if God can show up, or wondering if God wants to heal us, or wondering if God's going to deliver us. God wants us to have a faith that believes he can and he will deliver us. Amen? At Grace Road Church, we believe, similar to the children of Israel who God led into a promised land, we believe God has given us a spiritual promised land. And that spiritual promised land is a place of rest. It's a place where the striving is over, where we walk in a type of peace and understanding of peace and healing and prosperity in our souls, where we are people that are whole and healthy and we're spiritually vibrant and we've got the love of God in us and the love of God flowing through us. Can I get an amen? But the problem is that spiritual promised land does not always come without a fight. Amen? Like we learned in our previous series, there are enemies sometimes that are in possession of a spiritual territory that God has promised you. So if God has promised you peace, but you can't get any good sleep at night, there is some spiritual territory that God wants you to take and to claim and to dispossess current inhabitants of that place that is stealing your peace from you, right? God has given you a gift, a promise of peace and love and rest in our lives. You see, but life comes with all kinds of problems, doesn't it? We're broken people. Our souls have been fractured because we live in a broken world and an unfair world, and people have done harm to us, and life experiences have created in us all kinds of wounds that haven't been healed, and we're really fighting to move forward and take the territory God has given us, haven't we? But we have to believe that all things are possible. That God can heal your broken body. God can restore your mind. God can deliver you from your anxiety and your depression. God can deliver you from the bondage of addiction and all kinds of strongholds that might be on our lives. And you know, when we're talking about faith, it's always easy to talk about, you know, a miraculous healing and a miraculous event or situation. And God is all for the miraculous, but sometimes what requires us of us when it comes to faith is a tremendous amount of faith and determination to get through some of these strongholds and things that are on our lives. It takes faith to overcome and to break into the territory God has for us. So we are a church that believes in that spiritual promised land. We believe that all the promises of God have been given to us, that they belong to us, and we are to go take that territory. Amen? God doesn't want you depressed. God doesn't want you in anxiety. He doesn't want you in bondage. He doesn't want you to be in a place where you're not enjoying the spiritual victories in your life that he's already delivered to you. And so it's a process and it requires faith. And we're going to talk about that. And I believe you're going to be greatly encouraged. I want to tell you about my life. I try to be as transparent as possible, and I've talked about this, but I want to share with you something the Lord did at a very pivotal point in my life. When I was all caught up in all kinds of strongholds in my life, the enemy really had a field day with me. I was put in a foster home when I was, you know, basically when I was born, I was kind of separated from my biological family. Grew up in a foster home, was adopted about the age of 3 and a half. And what that did for me is I never really realized it until my 20s. Come on now. When you start hitting your 20s and your 30s, you start to realize just how messed up you really are. Somehow in your teens, you can fake it and you don't realize that you have things on you. But in my 20s, I began to really struggle with feelings of, you know, of rejection and all these kinds of things. And the enemy loves to exploit those things in our life, doesn't he? Let's heap upon them, try to exploit those things and take wounds and life experiences and try to make them worse. And so I had to learn how to find and walk in the freedoms that God had given me. But I was all caught up in anxiety, and I was believing every lie from the enemy. He's always throwing these fiery darts and these lies. And as soon as a lie penetrates your mind and then it gets in your heart, that's when it becomes a stronghold. When you begin to believe a lie, which begins to warp your perception of who God is and who you are and who other people are. That is what a stronghold is, and it begins to change our behavior and change the way we think and change the way we live and walk, and it puts us in all kinds of bondage. But God has promised us deliverance over those bondages, hasn't he? So there was a season of my life when I was really depressed. I mean, I thought God had left me. I literally believed God had left me, that I'd run out of grace, and you know, he wasn't gonna be with me anymore. That's what I believed. I was believing these things, and it was easy for the enemy to put that on me because of my own life experiences. Come on now. Everybody has their own story, right? That was my story. So I struggled with feelings of rejection and depression, and I remember it was so bad in my life, I couldn't find peace. There was no peace. There was no joy. I knew God loved me intellectually. I knew that he was good, but it was a struggle for me to really walk out the victory that he had for me. And I remember going to bed one evening, and I was just crying out to God. And I said, Lord, what is wrong with me? How can I ever overcome these bondages and these issues on my life? And I fell asleep that evening. Now, I'm going to tell you a testimony of a dream I had that night, which was a divine dream. and I don't have those types of dreams every day. There's a handful of them in my life, and this is one of them that changed my life forever. When I went to sleep, I woke up the next morning from a dream. And the dream was basically I was in this sanctuary. It was like a tabernacle. And it was a rectangle. And it wasn't an earthly, I knew it was like a worship tabernacle that was in heaven. And there were four balconies all along the side. There's balconies on each side in the front and back. And in the balconies, it was unusual because there were worshipers. It was a huge choir wearing robes. So the choir wasn't on the main ground. The choir was all up on these balconies. And then on the main ground, it was packed from the front to all the way in the back. And everyone in that place, everyone with all of their strength, with every ounce of fiber of strength, and they were worshiping and praising Jesus who was standing on the stage in a white robe. And there was a song that they were singing, which was a song that we sang in church. At the church I went to at that time, it was called God is Able. God is able to do what he said he would do. I woke up in the morning from that dream, and I knew the Lord was speaking to me, and he was simply telling me that he is able to deliver me from a bondage that seems like I could never get out of. When you feel like you're so immersed in darkness and you're so trapped and the strongholds are so strong and you could never break free from that addiction, you could never break out of that shame, you could never break out of these thoughts and I thought I'd never recover the life that God wanted me to live. But I woke up with a song in my heart that he put in my heart through a dream experience that he is able. God is able. And he wanted me to believe that all things were possible with him. I want you to think about that thing in your life that seems impossible. And I want you to reinterpret that, reconsider that thing that you have said is impossible, and allow God to say, all things are possible to those who believe. And you might need help from the Holy Spirit to help your faith believe in the impossible. Isn't that what that man said, that father? I believe, but help my unbelief. I woke up from that dream, and from that moment forward, I knew that victory was ahead of me. It wasn't easy. It didn't happen immediately. But God delivered me because he's able to do what he said he would do. Amen? All things are possible. I want to talk about just a few things about these strongholds, because we're talking about strongholds this morning. Just a few examples. Just so we can kind of put our arms around this. There are strongholds of fear, of anxiety, and of depression, where our minds have been clouded. We've lost our zeal for life. Our heads are filled up like a broken record, speaking lies over and over and over and over. And it becomes so programmed in our mind that we feel like we could never break free from that. That's a stronghold. Strongholds look like drugs and drunkenness and sexual addictions and things of that nature that are of a bondage that are on people, patterns and behaviors that seem impossible to break free from. That's a stronghold. There's strongholds of control and self-loathing or a self-image problem where you don't view yourself the way God views you. You view yourself in a lowly way, or, you know, a self-loathing way, or maybe a way that is too lofty. These are strongholds. These are unhealthy thinking patterns and coping mechanisms that put up walls between ourselves and other people and create barriers and don't allow us to walk in the freedoms that God has already promised us. Control, manipulation, and jealousy. Jealousy is a big stronghold. Somebody else hurt us, and so we project that hurt onto every new person we meet. which only destroys the new relationships, right? It's a stronghold in our mind, anger and attitudes and arrogance. Unforgiveness. This is a big one. I got a friend of mine, his name's Dean Smith. Some of you might know him. He's got a ministry called Live to Forgive. When he was 12 years old, I believe he was in sixth grade, his stepdad beat his mother to death with a baseball bat. He went in the room and he actually, unfortunately, saw the blood everywhere in the room. He was in the hospital room seeing her hooked up to all the machines, and he watched her breathe her last breath. And he went into the cafeteria as a little 12-year-old boy clenching a sandwich, and he said to himself, I'm going to grow big and strong, which he did. He's like 6'6", 6'7". He's pretty buff. He's kind of a CrossFit guy. He said, I'm going to find that man, and I'm going to murder him. I'm going to kill the man that killed my mom. And so I knew him, and his story's all over the place. He made a feature-length documentary movie about this. He had to find a place where he could walk forward in the freedoms that only forgiveness could provide him. Because he got into drugs, he got into alcohol, he was a mess, and he masked all of it with like humor because he's a really funny guy. He's actually preached at this church. He's my buddy. I grew up with him. Well, years later, the man was released from prison, and Dean had to find the grace of God to help him forgive the man who murdered his mother. Because that unforgiveness and that bitterness that had taken root in his heart was preventing him from walking in the freedom that Christ promised him. I wonder how many of us have been so wounded and so mistreated that that bitterness and those wounds and that unforgiveness has really taken root and has attached itself to us, and we don't have freedom. That's what strongholds do, is they steal from you. And so this man, Dean, he's a great man. He started to walk through a process of learning how to forgive. Next thing you know, he was ministering to the man who murdered his mom. Then he went and flew out to meet him and led him to Christ, the man who murdered his mom. Then brought him back to Enumclaw, where it all started and it all happened, and brought him back to the church where they used to go to before his mom was murdered, and reconciled with his sister in the church community. And this man has gone on to push forward a ministry of forgiveness really all over the world. But there was a rooted bitterness and unforgiveness stronghold that was placed on him. A lot of these things, it wasn't our doing. It's not like we planned it that way. But we find ourselves with strongholds on our lives that we must break through to enter the spiritual promised land that God has for us. Amen? Legalism, judgmentalism, self-righteousness, all of these things are strongholds. Now, let's go back to Luke, the scripture we read. Because in Luke chapter 17, remember, the apostles asked for Jesus to increase their faith. Increase our faith, they said. Which begs the question, why were they asking for Jesus to increase their faith? And if you kind of step back and study what Jesus was just teaching right before they asked that question or made that request, he was teaching on forgiveness. And essentially, he was saying, if somebody comes up to you, if they harm you, if they mistreat you, you have to forgive them over and over and over. Think seven times a day, over and over, just keep forgiving them. The disciples turned to Jesus and, you know, can you imagine? How can I get along with this dude? Like, I'm supposed to keep forgiving this person? They turn to Jesus and say, increase our faith. Help me out here, Jesus. You know what I mean? How can I go to work and love my boss who treats me terribly every day? That's not me. I'm just hypothetically saying that. How can I keep loving my spouse? How can I keep loving people? How can I prevent this bitterness, this pill from getting in my heart? This is what the disciples, these apostles, were confronted with. They were confronted with this reality, this teaching from Jesus, where he was saying to them, you have to love people and you have to forgive them even if they repeatedly wound you. Doesn't mean you subject yourself to be wounded over and over, but it's forgiveness. And in that reality, they turned to Jesus and said, help us out here. This is going to require more faith than we have to love and to forgive and to not allow these strongholds to dominate our lives. Amen? Amen. So they turned to him and said, increase our faith. It requires faith to uproot things that have penetrated our souls and taken a grip on us. Some of us feel like the tentacles of anger have just really got his claws on us. The tentacles of bitterness, unforgiveness, addictions, behaviors, coping mechanism. These tentacles have just wrapped, like it has control of, how do I uproot those things that have taken and settled themselves in my heart? So they turn to Jesus and say, help us here. This requires more faith than we got. And God's going to give you faith to believe that he's going to deliver you from these things that have taken root in your heart. He wants you to believe that all things are possible. Now, when I was in my darkness and my bondage, it did not seem possible. It felt like I did not know victory, like I'd never known victory. I could think back when I remember just enjoying my life, but it seemed like it was so long ago. And I did not know how to get out. But God delivered me from it. It's a supernatural deliverance. It doesn't mean overnight. So you see, sometimes God's forgiveness and deliverance is a process. It's progressive. It takes time. You have to renew your mind. You have to fight and claw and scrape and push and press into the faith that he has and to fight the fight of faith, to dispossess those inhabitants in the land that are occupying your spiritual victory. So I want to give you three things that Jesus said in reply to their request to increase their faith. Okay, you guys ready? First thing he says is, the Lord said, if you had faith like a what? Grain of mustard seed. I want to encourage you this morning that you don't need a massive amount of faith to get amazing victories and breakthrough in your life. You see, because it's not about the quantity of faith so much as it's about the type or kind of faith that you have. Amen? In other words, it's the object for which you're putting your faith in that really determines the outcome. Because you can have a ton of faith in a very unreliable source and have a ton of confidence and step out and break through the thin ice. Or you can just have a grain of mustard seed, a tiny amount of faith in Jesus. Come on now. A tiny amount of faith in thick ice, and you can walk out there with a little bit of faith, and you're going to be safe. So I want to encourage you, if you even have a little bit of faith that Jesus can deliver you, if you're like that father that says, I believe, help my unbelief, your help my unbelief will get you there. Your desire for God to help you will get you there. Jesus turns and says, only believe. Believe in your heart. God wants us to shake off the cobwebs of doubt that victory really, does it really belong to me? Yes, victory belongs to you. Victory is in your future. Deliverance belongs to you. I'll never be the same person that I would have been had I not gone through those things. Those things are always a susceptible angle that the enemy might try to play with, but I've learned how to overcome. I've learned how to walk out victory. I've learned how to renew my mind. I've learned how to take possession of those spiritual territories. And there's more victories to come, isn't there? I want to speak to you if you feel hopeless, if you feel you can't break through this alcoholism. One step forward and two steps back. Waking up, having panic attacks, all these things. God has victory for you. And the first step is to believe that he can and he will. You see, if you have a little bit of faith in a mighty God, great things can happen. Come on now. Don't worry if you're struggling with your faith like that father. The father still got the victory for his son, didn't he? You just got to have faith. You just got to be trusting in Jesus. You got to be leaning into God, leaning into his help, seeking him to guide you. You might not be sure how you're going to get out of this or what's going to happen, but God will meet you there and lead you out. Amen? The next thing Jesus says is he says something very important that I want to talk about. And that was, he said, if you have the faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could what? Say to this mountain, go to the next slide, say to this mulberry tree. Oh, in another part, he said, say to this mountain. There's a difference between a mountain and a mulberry tree. I'll talk about that later. Is it easier to have faith to remove a mountain or a mulberry tree? Notice that Jesus put that word say in there. I want to talk to you about the way you're using your words. Because I personally believe that words are extremely powerful. I believe that the power of life and death is in the tongue. I believe if you say, I'll never get out of this, that you will stay where you are. I believe that if you have resigned yourself and you are speaking words, as you speak those words of doubt out of your mouth, you are solidifying in your own soul and informing the enemy that you don't believe you can get out, that you're not trusting God. I don't care whether you believe it or don't. If you have a small faith, I want you to start speaking victory in your life. The Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. Come on now. There is too much negative talk coming out of our mouths. The Bible says that Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if you're speaking doubt over yourself, over your life, over your situation, over your future, you are speaking lies that have been put in you. But God wants you to have the abundance of his word and of his faithfulness and of the life of God and of the promises that he's given you. Speak those words. Come on now. I'm not talking about a name it and claim it. I'm talking about speak words of life. Because when you say out of you know the Bible even says when it comes to salvation, you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. There's something about a confession out of your mouth that ratifies and solidifies the thing that you've put your faith in. If you don't speak it, you don't really believe it. So God wants you to begin to speak words of life, speak words of faith. Stop speaking and magnifying the problem and making the problem bigger. Start magnifying your Savior and make him bigger through your speech and what's on going on in your heart. Amen? Because the more you repeat this thing, you are feeding doubt into your own soul, which will impact your ability to have faith and to move and to take steps and to do the things that God's calling you to do. If you had faith, you would say to this tree, God wants you to start to speak with your words, faith. He wants you to speak to the tree, speak to the mountain, speak to your problem, speak to the situation, and start to speak life over it. You know, let's talk about this for a minute. David and Goliath. Y'all remember that story? Now, not very many people believed that David could take on Goliath. Well, let's see. Let's do an inventory. His dad didn't even put him in the mix with his brothers to be anointed king. His brothers didn't believe in him, right? David was the only one who stepped up to try to take on Goliath, wasn't he? Because he was a man of faith. But even Saul, King Saul told him, look, this is bad. You probably don't want to do this. In fact, here's some armor. Maybe you'll live a little longer. Put on this armor, you know, and don't do this. Nobody was speaking faith. Not one person was speaking faith. except for David. I don't care how many people, how many voices are speaking doubt into your situation. Let it be so that you agree with God in your situation. Even if your own brothers, your own mothers, your own spouse, your own kids, whoever it might be, your teachers, your coaches, I don't care if it's your own pastor. You speak words of life and of faith, and you agree with God, not the doubters. David said to the Philistines, notice, he said to the mountain. It was a mountain man, you know. He spoke to the tree. He spoke to the mountain. He says, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. See, God wants a warrior mentality in us. He wants us to look at these things and say, who do you think you are blocking me from my promised land? Who do you think you are defiling the children of God? You uncircumcised Philistine. Sounds like a swear word. I love that. You uncircumcised Philistine. Who do you think you are? How dare you challenge God Almighty? You see, you got to know there's a promised place for you. There's victory for you. And you got to see that and say, I don't care what it takes. I'm getting to that place. I'm not living like this forever. I'm not going to be broken, busted, and disgusted all my life. I'm not going to live like this forever. I'm going to reach victory in my life. David says, you come to me with a sword, you come to me with a spear, you come to me with all this natural stuff. And that's what we do, we look at the natural stuff. All the brothers and Saul and all of them were looking at the natural. David was looking at the supernatural. He says, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Listen, that sickness is defying God. That attack on you is defying God. It's saying, God, I know that this is your person. I know that you promised blessing. I know you promised, but I'm going to go attack it anyway. He says, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. Yeah, this is more than just talking smack. Come on. This isn't like Gary Payton stuff, right? The Sonics are gone. He wasn't just talking smack for the sake of, he was speaking words of faith. He was declaring the victory before it happened. He was determined in faith. He was speaking out of his mouth the abundance of what God had put in his heart, that the same way he delivered me from the lion and the bear with this sling and stones, he will deliver me from you. Your resources might not look like they can win, but your resources are in God. And they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Some of you, you don't need to go see a psychologist. You need to go see Jesus. You need to go to the Word of God. No psychologist could get me out of that. This was a spiritual war that I was in. And it required spiritual weaponry. Because the weapon of our warfare is not carnal, but it's mighty in God. He said, this day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand. Who will deliver him? God. He had his faith in God. He saw that his God was mightier than Goliath. If you see that your God is mightier than your problem, you'll believe that all things are possible. Come on now. When you exalt your problem above what God can do in your life, you are exalting the power of that issue over and above God Almighty. He says, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Come on now. It sounds a little, you know, we don't like that, do we? But I like that because I want you to have a mindset. You have no place here. I'm not just going to be victorious. I'm going to be super abundantly victorious. I'm going to dominate you. I'm going to dominate. The Bible talks about wrestling. Wrestling is an act of domination. You can't kill the enemy, but you can dominate him. You can trample him. Amen? You can have total victory over these issues in your life. And I will give these dead bodies of the host of the Philistine this day to the birds of the air. And he goes on and on. He's just talking. The point is, God wants you to begin to speak faith. And when you begin to speak faith, even if you're not sure, if you're like the father, I believe, help my unbelief, increase my faith. How could I possibly forgive this person? I want you to wake up and start saying, I'm going to forgive this person. Today, I'm releasing forgiveness to this person. Today, the Lord is healing me from the bondage of bitterness and the roots that have been put into my heart. And today, God is delivering me. Start speaking faith in your life. We can have you come on up. And I always feel more spiritual when they're up playing music, you know. All of a sudden, I'm more anointed. And your words have power. I want to take you to Luke 17:6. Just stay right here. Here's the brilliance of what Jesus was teaching. A mulberry tree was believed to be a massively powerful tree. And they believed that the mulberry tree had roots that were so strong that it could be rooted in the ground for over 600 years. So it's no mistake, and it's by no coincidence, that Jesus talks about uprooting a mulberry tree when the disciples are asking for faith to overcome issues of unforgiveness, issues of bitterness, things that have penetrated and got their tentacles around your soul that you feel like you can't escape from. These things are, they're gripping me too tight. Jesus says, if you even have a tiny amount of faith, a small amount of faith in what I can do in your life, you could say to this tree, you could speak to this tree, and the roots will come up. The roots that don't look like they could be uprooted. They should be there for 600 years, 1,000 years. Jesus says that thing will be moved, uprooted from the ground and cast into the sea to never be seen again. Those things that have put themselves on you by way of a stronghold and have taken root in you, God wants to release into you this morning a new measure of faith that he will uproot that. You have faith in God and walk with him through a process of deliverance in your life. And even the great mulberry tree with its roots that seem like they could never be loosed, God will loose them from out of your life. Let's not speak anymore. That's just the way I am. Let's not speak anymore. Oh, I'm just having, you know, this is what happened to me. God wants you committed to your victory. He's committed to your future. He's committed to your deliverance. Let's align ourselves with God and say, yes, God, I stand with you and I believe in you, and I believe that all things are possible to him who believes, and I believe that I am more than a conqueror and super abundantly victorious, and that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can I get an amen? Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy, your love and your kindness. We thank you for that you're a mighty, powerful God. God, we speak to those addictions. We speak to those patterns. We speak to that unforgiveness. We speak to that pride. We speak to that anger. We speak to that bitterness. We speak to that self-righteousness. We speak to these things, God. And we say they have no place in our lives. They will not win out in our lives. As we are overcomers, We overcome because of our faith in Jesus, who's already overcome death, hell, and the grave. So, Father, we put our trust in you, and we turn our face towards you, and we ask, God, that you would uproot these mighty trees that seem so formidable in our hearts, seem so formidable in our lives and our behaviors and our thinking patterns. And God, we are agreeing with you that you will uproot them and you will move them into the sea so that they will never take root in our lives again. Father, we believe you and we speak faith. God, I pray a release of forgiveness over wounds that happened when we were children, over life circumstances that skewed our sense of reality and skewed our sense of who we are and who God is. God, I pray for supernatural healing in the lives of your people, God. Shed your love abroad in our hearts, Lord, and fill us up with your love, God. God, replace old thinking with new thinking. Help us to reprogram our minds, God, in Jesus' name. God, I just want to speak faith that joy is coming to your people, that joy has arrived with your people, that peace has arrived with your people, that love has arrived with your people, that patience and kindness and gentleness and easy sleep has arrived in the hearts of your people. God, that today we rebuke shame. Jesus, you were shamed on the cross, so we don't have to walk in shame. And we loose that shame in the hearts of your people, God. Let it be uprooted in the name of Jesus. There is no shame here. We are fully loved. We are fully embraced. We are fully forgiven. We are fully redeemed. We are fully saved. We are saved to the uttermost. Father God, we thank you so much. We agree with you, Jesus. So God, persuade us. Persuade us to believe. Persuade us to step forward in faith. In Jesus' name.